Amunah, a message of Purim with a business day, a businessman's daily challenge. So, as I said, we've done our share of Choshen Mishpat Shurim. I promise you that we will have some halacha in here, which says, how is that possible? We will. And we've given our Shurim on really your dad topics, like we did last week, Yuchot. And we've done our Geneva Das, stealing from hotels and all that fun stuff. But in the essence of it all is someone who has had the challenges in the business world, and obviously this is going to be life challenges. It's important to talk about something that will come up in the jobs that you have. And I don't wish upon this, please, this is not, I'm not giving out brachas now, or klalas, but most people in the world, will experience a loss of a job, or a difficulty in getting a job when they exit college. It's becoming seemingly much, much more difficult to find jobs out of college. And that starts the challenge in your mind of, hey, I'm doing everything right. I had an amazing Shana Aleph, maybe even an amazing Shana Bet. And I'm not pushing it. I don't care. And I've had everything great. And I'm davening three times a day. And I have a learning seder. I mean, I'm in Rav Sivush here. Like, I'm a good guy. You know what I'm saying? And why is Hashem doing this to me? One of the major questions that, you know, we have. Why is he doing this to me? And this question comes up over and over again in general challenges of life, although I'll relate this, you know, specific to business. And I think Purim is an important time for us to speak about this challenge. It's the challenge of Emunah. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has an awesome line that I only recently heard. And that is that Emunah starts where intellect stops. So when our intellect tells us something, right, everything, unfortunately, in the life that we live in today has to make sense, right? We live in a generation of, if it doesn't make sense, don't do it. Don't do it. And in fact, if we look at back at our holiday history, Hanukkah was unique because the Yevanim were extremely educated and understood that they were not going to be able to get to the Jews and just have them convert. They went to them with specific mitzvos and said, this makes no sense, right? And then, Bris Milah, are you crazy? How can you do that to your child, right? Especially when, in those days, they weren't wearing much when they were doing sports. You're going to be different. Shabbos. 39 malachas is a joke. There's not 39 malachas. There's like 12,000 malachas you can't do. So, many times, right, if it doesn't make sense. So, I'll give you an example that's a bad example. I shouldn't say this on the, if this is going on Yom Tov, I shouldn't say it. But I do, because I don't care. And it's as follows. You're ready for the army, I see. So, you're like ready for the army. Like you're in costume today. So, got the boots. So comes along a student, and this is very typical, right? We're almost, are we at full? Do we have everybody here? Is everybody here or not? No. So there's going to be some loser that walks in soon. And, right? So this guy walks in yesterday, right? To shear. I'm not saying which shear. I won't say. And he walks in, and he's fashionably late. Not terribly late, but fashionably late, about 10 minutes. And he's made... Did I say something? Something I said? Sorry. And he's going to come in now. Oh, it's very fun. So he made himself his own eggs. He's got like sunny side up eggs, some nice bread that he's toasted for himself. And he comes and he sits down late. So now, I don't know what my two cents are on whether you should be eating as a covenant to eat in shir. I know that my kids have told me on Zoom that there, a lot of the teachers have a rule. There's always a rule you're not allowed to eat during class, but now that it's Zoom class, so I said to them, that's ridiculous. The kid's home, especially, they just go off the screen. I go, come on. My kids are in the kitchen. Like, come on. That's ridiculous. Anyway, so I didn't care, this kid. So the kid sits down, and he doesn't understand why I'm giving him the evil eye. And he picks up the bread, and he scoops some of the egg, and I'm like, until he died, and he was like, "Whoa, whatever." So he got all upset at me, and then I called him out and said this line that I'm about to say. And I said, "Why don't we do an until he died? Because it doesn't make sense to us, right? People don't do the until he died, right?" I remember when I came home my year in Israel, my parents took us out for dinner. I hadn't seen my aunt and uncle, my family. We went out for dinner. I don't remember where, I'm gonna call it King David back in the day, Olava Shalom. And Central Avenue, yeah. Nice. And I go up to wash. And as a joke, my uncle says to me, why are you going to wash? Not Shabbos, right? And as much as that joke is funny, but for some people, that's what it was. I used to go to summer camp. I won't say which summer camp, Camp Hillel. And this is what benching, this is not a joke. This is 100% MS. They would start, they go, shh, we're benching now. Baruch atah, right? You know that, right? Right? And then we'd finish, Baruch atah, Hashem Hazan, Esakol. Okay, let's go, bunk one, bunk two. That was, I thought that was benching. I really thought as a kid, benching on Shabbos was so annoying because you had to say the whole benching. During the week, it's Hazan Esakol. I don't know how that happened in Camp Hillel that they did that. But we often think to myself, well, if it doesn't make sense, I don't have to do it. It's Yasei Daima. And I could argue the argument. Right, we can start having the discussion. Oh, texting on Shabbos. Well, you can't tell me it's in a Sederaisa, a Rabbanan. Maybe you start going into lumdas because you know you learn for 12 minutes and you think you're a rabbi now. So that's the businessman's challenge. When, right, I did this yesterday. I'm not going to do it now, but I did a calculation. I happened to pick on somebody. I know in my history I pick on them too much, so I apologize to the five towns. I took a five towns kid, and I said, "What does your dad do for a living?" And he told me, and we did the numbers, right? And I didn't ask how much his father makes, but I obviously, since he was in the five towns, I assumed it was like $350,000 a year, right? We worked out the number was based on the fact that he's got three kids, school, summer camp. One kid raised his hand, out of town kid, classic Leva Torah. He's like, Rav Hertzon, you forgot to put in his mom works also. I'm like, no, it's five tabs. Mom doesn't work. And because like, yeah, my mom doesn't work. Fine. And when we worked out all the numbers, all of a sudden, 350,000, the guy's got no room, you know, to go. It was very funny. I was like, how do you even go to Turks and Caicos on vacation? He's like, oh my God, we go there every year. It's like very funny. So you have this father now who's making bank, 350,000, and now somebody comes to him and tells him, well, here's what we're going to do. There's a government contract, and they don't know if you sign it this way and you do this, and it, shtick. And the father's like, I need to do shtick because I can't make it. Like, who makes $350,000? It's a lot of money. And I still can't pay my bills. So he's got that challenge. And when the intellect says this, it doesn't make sense. Yes, the Gemara says that God decides Mizoyna Shal Adam, the Rosh Hashanah and the Rosh Hashanah, but he must have not known about this. I don't have the money. I can't pay it. What do you want me to do? And don't you want me to give staka? That's the challenge. When our intellect doesn't make sense and we sit back and say, God, you got this. We spoke about already last week my rescue mission flight, which unfortunately is only getting worse in the state of Israel. They were supposed to start flying this week. United and Delta, and they canceled their flight. It's been really, really bad for people. I have, unfortunately, friends that are stuck in the United States. I'm on this WhatsApp group. It's just a sad story of all these people who can't get on flights. And that was a question in the moon as well. It's a regular life story of, like, right? And again, don't get me wrong. I was supposed to leave Tuesday night, and instead I left Thursday night. It wasn't bad at all. But that is shtadlus in getting to that point. Is an emunah challenge, and that's a very small level of an emunah challenge. What happens if you have someone sick in your family? What happens if you have this issue, that issue, the house burns down? It. There's all these things. How do you sit back and you see some of these people? And I find it amazing, and I could give you the names, but here in Eretz Yisrael, Chaman Litzlan, when we lose soldiers, when we lose people in terrorist attacks, and they start interviewing family members, and you're like, how the heck are these people so strong? Their emunah is like ridiculous. It's Racheli Franco, for example. She's unbelievable, her amunah. Again, amunah doesn't mean you don't question God. That's the one huge mistake that we make, right? We're allowed to question, you're allowed to look up at Hashem, and in fact, it's an amazing thing to say, Hashem, please, why'd you do this to me? Stop, please. I know it's a test. Tell the story about the Shana Aleph guy. You don't know this, you're not, you know, you're in Rav Sivish here, but you have friends like this. Guy decides that, you know what, Rav Hartstein was really strict. I saw a lot of people sign up for lessons from the lathe. So you'll see, I'll give you a little musr. Right, today was just halachic, but musr. So I give musr, and the guy really takes the musr, and he says, you know what, he's right. Rav Hartstein said, my year's over, I got to do something. I don't know if we need the heat so crazy, but okay. So it's like a schwitz in here. So comes along this guy, and he says, that's it. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. I'm going to Minyan tomorrow. I'm doing it. I want to go to Minyan. Wow. So He wakes up in the morning with plenty of time for Minyan. And as he gets out of bed, he stubs his toe. Ah! One day I wake up. Why do you do this to me, God? You know? He walks to his wonderful, to the shower. And door's locked. And he hears one of his roommates, also usually never gets up, singing in the shower, right? This guy's doing, you know, he's singing a lot of different going on. He's like, dude, I got to go to shul. I got to go. He's like, wait. I got to, you know, shir chazoni shower, 25 minutes, you know. He's going on and on and on. Finally, he gets out. He's like, great, I'm going to be late now. And he gets into the shower and turns it on. And you know what happens now. Cold shower, everybody say, right? Mr. Naaman didn't plan for 25-minute showers for everybody, right? He's the Rav Chaim Noy. He doesn't hold from the Chazon Ish. And the guy's like, what? I'm just going to go back to sleep. Every moment, God's telling him to go back to sleep. Like, that's what he thinks. Right? And he powers through it, and he goes downstairs. And you don't know this, but back in the olden days, you would come into shul, and there would be some loser from the community sitting in your seat. And you'd be like, pah! And you would, of course, do the usual, go up to the seat and take your sitter. And the guy would be like, oh, is this your seat? No, no! You know, like, right? And the guy's having a heart. That's the Emunah challenge. God just tested you big time. Big time. The yesod of this is the whole story of Purim. Purim is the most unique holiday. I'm going to give you two reasons why, based on a beautiful idea from Rav Shimshon Pinkus in source number one.
He says like this, Lachain, gam lo muzkar, b'chol ha-megillah, af shem ha-shem osa ha-shem yitbar.
You all know this when you're little Jake. Well, how many times is God's name written in the Megillah?
Zero.
How many times in the Haggadah, by the way? Zero. Anybody else have any other answers besides zero?
It's more because you quote Az Yashir where it has at the beginning there, definitely.
What does it say in Az Yashir? Very good. Wow. I'm very impressed. You just made it. You know what? I don't want to punch you now. The answer is once. It's only written once. Interesting. The contrast. And by the way, when is Hashem's name written? V'aminu b'Hashem u'v'Moshe Abdo. To remind us who Moshe Rabbeinu was. He was the Eved of Hashem. So comes along Rav Pinchas and says, Kevan shim haya kote v'giloi shemo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu haytezu yitziyah megeder ha-teva l'miyal ha-teva. What does the word teva mean? Oh, look outside, guys. What a beautiful day Mother Nature has brought us. I hate this word more than any word. Because Mother Nature is taking God out of it. Right? Bring God back into schools. That's, you know, they don't let them say God's name in school. Right? Mother Nature. Nature this, nature that. You watch it on TV. Oh, nature. Whoa, Mother Nature. It's called Teva. Because we don't want to, right? That's what, there are amazing ways that the media, specifically, has taken words to change around world history. And an example of that is, right? I don't know, I'll give you an example. The Shomron. How would you explain the Shomron in England? What's it called? Where's the Shomron? You have a friend who lives in the Shomron. You want to explain it to your non-Jewish business partner. What would you say to him? He lives where?
Israel.
No? You would be telling the truth, but...
what's it called? The
right. You would say the occupied territories or the West Bank. Both media words made up. Palestinians love these words. Yehuda v'Shomron. It's part of Israel. Hi. Yehuda v'Shomron. You know who it belonged to? Right? It belonged to our forefathers. The West Bank. Ridiculous. Yes, sir.
Are you saying that nature is independent of God? The word nature maybe is just another euphemistic way of saying God without actually saying God.
So I think it's not. I think it's a way of kind of taking God out of the picture by calling it something else. So I don't have to admit, and this is what I'm about to say, that...
What? The word nature is about anything. Saying Mother Nature is a little weird.
When I say nature, I'm thinking like the natural, like, what God created, like how the world.
You're a religious guy.
The world runs.
Mother You're a religious
nature,
guy.
Mother Nature literally refers to God.
It's
the Greek. Mother
Nature. Right. Yeah. Well, Mother Nature doesn't actually refer to the Greek gods, but
refers to God.
It was based off of God.
Uh huh. Okay, it's fair point.
I think that there's a God of nature and then a God of nature.
Right. I think that the idea originally is a teva. Is an idea that originated with nature of saying that I don't have to believe that God's currently running the world. Right? And certainly I don't see the nisim and the flows in it. And that's what Rav Pinchas says. V'zeh kvar nogel l'pesach.
Now, we'll get to Pesach in a moment. Ech purim megala lanu, she kol davar she betoch hateva hachoshech, ze piskat ha'elokim. Anything that happens ever in the world to you is God. It's his love. He loves you. And you know when God loves you the most, I know this sounds surprising, it's mamash betoch hatzara. God loves us the most during the war. That makes no sense what I'm about to say. It's true. God loves us the most when he has to have a battle where the Jews are fighting for their very existence. Where Knesset Kol Yehudim, where all the Jews have to get together and say, oh my God, we're about to die. The Gemara's famous line, that the Tabato Shel Achashverosh, the Tabat of the Melech, had more tshuva than the Memches Neviim V'Neviyos. It had more credence. Why? Because when Jews are, when they're behind the eight ball, they're scared. Right? Unfortunately, there's more achdus ever in the world when? When we're scared. Right? When you put people in the gas chamber, nobody's asking what chassidus are you. When three boys were kidnapped years ago, that summer when I was here, I can't explain to you what those 18 days felt like in Israel. You couldn't walk into a store. No store ever played music. There was no, I'm not kidding. For 18 days, you would walk into stores, there was no happy music. The nation was mourning, hoping that we would get these boys back. It's all people would talk about. It was like it was their children. Rachel Frankel says she woke up every morning and she felt like I was getting a hug. She says, I can't explain it. You felt something. That's all everybody was doing. V'nahafochu. Kol ma she'ata roa beteva hu piskat Hashem. You have to realize that the teva is really Hashem. Heichan roi nahava. Says that. Here's a question. Where do you see God's love more? Purim or Pesach? Right? So I would say Pesach obviously makes the most sense. The nisim and the flows that God did with us, which we know is what we call mi'al ha'teva, which he normally doesn't do, was for a reason. But the Eser Makos, we learn in the Haggadah that there are a lot more than Eser Makos. There were great nisim and the flows, and Kriyas Yamsuf wasn't just simply Kriyas Yamsuf. Look at all the nisim within Kriyas Yamsuf itself. The splitting of the sea into 12 separate parts, being able to see so that you see through so you can see that your friend is okay. Having beautiful fruit while you're walking, v'chulu v'chulu. God lifted us up, kiviyachol, from the world and did crazy things. The most regular holiday of the year is the holiday of Purim. One day a year where we say, no, it's regular work. Yes, true. The halacha tells us, I just read it to my son this morning, that there's an isser malacha. A person really shouldn't do malacha. Malkum shenago, malkum lo nago. It's better not to do malachas that don't revolve around Purim itself. Why? To take your mind off the simcha that you're supposed to have on this day. But that's the yisod, says Rav Pinchas. The whole yisod of the day is that it's a regular day. And that's why I taina. There's a very strange minhag, which obviously you will not be makayim this year. And that is adlo yoda, because you're in Rav Siv Shira, it's not going to let you, right? Because the Rama says, if you want to be a strict Jew, that says adlo yoda is just, right, to have more than lemuda, what he normally drinks, a little bit more, and you guys never drink ever. So you have a you have to be yoytze zayin, you want to, again, Shir Chazanish, you want to have a little bit more, okay? But that's it, have a cup of wine, right? But some taina that that's not true, right? Rav Sternbach has an awesome tshuva. Rav Sternbach says, stop with the Rama and the Mishnah Berurah. You have to get drunk. This is what he writes. Stop. Give me all the points. You have to get drunk. How can you get drunk? It's mamish neged everything we learned. It's a mefurish Rambam about what getting drunk is holos. It's a, what we call, it's a goyish azach. Right? My son got mad at me. It's like a weird thing. He's totally right that I got mad. That why should I get mad at him? So there's a store near where I work, literally down the block. My boss always makes fun of me because I go there. It's called Foreman Mills, and it's this weird store with weird stuff. Off the record, I'll tell you some of the other stuff they have after we tape it. You can ask me, but they have a lot of quote unquote not closed out. I don't know why, but like NBA store stuff that's discounted. I'm not sure why. So they have this awesome, cool, dry fit Kyrie Irving shirt that had big Kyrie, you know, those shirts has a big picture of him. And I said, oh, my son would love this. And I bought it for him. And I bought my kids all other things. And the first morning after I came home, my son loved it so much, he came to shul with it. And it's like a little bit weird to daven, and he's got this big Kyrie Irving picture. It's like, you know, Kol Pesel of a Tamuno, you know. It happened to me when I was in yeshiva. We didn't have a dress code in Yeshiva HaKotel. Rav Bina was very machmed. Wear whatever you want, you should be comfortable.
However, the Rosh Hashiva, or Vadari, was very mocking. And we go up to guys who had those shirts with big pictures. He says, it's a pestle. You can't. You know, this, by the way, is the whole vort with Haman. Haman only had an image. Is it considered to be? Right? So my son's like, oh, what is it? It's a Goy Shazach. Like, that's what I say. It's a Goy Shazach. It's a Goy Shazach. Right? We try to be different. How can you get drunk, says Rav Sternbach? And then you're going to give me the vort of the Zohar. Who doesn't quote the Zohar? The Arizal's vort? Yom Kippur, not so high level. It's only Kippurim. So here's the idea. This is Rav Sternbach's idea. But this is what we're trying to say over here in our opinions. Many months ago, about 6 months ago, you sat there on Yom Kippur. I know it was a different Yom Kippur than most Yom Kippurs. And you're in Rav Sivish here, so you're like, you got to step up to the plate. And you see everybody else around you. This was normally Rav Mo's not here. Rav Mo was here for Yom Kippur, right? Normally he's in Uma. Oh, he was in Uma. He escaped. Yeah, okay, fine.
No, he
wasn't in Uma?
He was in
America. Oh, he never went to?
He was quarantined.
Oh, sorry. Wow. Okay, sorry. I didn't know the whole story. So if you were to see somebody like Rav Mo go, right? And you see these crazy rebbes, they're davening, they're crying. So you got into it, right? And you're like, Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu. You go crazy over it. Right, a guy sitting on Yom Kippur, and he's saying, "Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanech." I'm so hungry. Shoot, that's what he's saying in his mind. I'm so hungry. I can't stand this. Why is this guy davening so long? I can't take it. I wonder what I'm going to do tonight. Oh man, I wonder if my girlfriend will get together. Yom Kippur, but it's on the inside. The outside, everybody's like, "Wow, look at him. He's so frum. Rav Sivshir, look at him. Wow." Says Rav Sternbach, "Nichnas Ein Yotzei Soid." 6 months ago, you had Yom Kippur. Now let's see who you really are. The businessman's challenge always is he goes to shul in the morning, and everybody's like, hey, what's going on? He goes to daf. The guy wakes up, and you know, like, he's the biggest tzaddik in the world. Right? I'm being honest with you. I don't know how people do that. I remember in the Young Azir Windmill, you had people like this. Right? When daf yomi wasn't a thing, they would get up. Dr. Glatz would give his daf yomi. People would get up at like 5 something in the morning. So it's amazing. Guy goes off to work at 8 o'clock. He's already learned an hour of Torah. He's now, right, if he's really from, he now goes on to the Long Island Railroad car and he does daf yomi again just to do a review of it. Like, it's amazing. Guy's learned for 2 hours. He's davening. He goes to work. Gets to work, takes the yarmulke off, and all of a sudden, I once interviewed for a job. And one of the smartest things you do when you interview for a job, if you can get away with this, you ask people that work at the job, like, do I want to work here? And this guy says to me, I know you know that guy from shul who will be your boss. He's a tyrant. He's not the guy from shul. That's not the guy who gives out the lollipops on Shabbos. That's not the guy. He's horrible. I was once with a company once, and it was religious-looking people. And we're sitting in a meeting, and these people are cursing, mamish, religious people. And I stopped them in the middle. I'm like, can I ask you a question? And they didn't know how to curse. You know, it was like a funny, like they thought that was like a business thing. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, well, it's part of the business world. I'm like, no, it's not. What do you curse? And I actually said to them, I said, actually, the people that curse in the business world, they're not the people you want to do business with. They're low-level people. Teva is regular. So now, Nichnasai and Yotzei Sod, I get to find out, who is this guy? Who are you really? I put a little wine in you, I hold you, not allowed to get drunk on Purim. You're allowed to get tipsy. Yeah, tipsy's okay. You have a lot of mitzvahs to do afterwards. You got this year, you got to daven mincha, you got to daven Kabbalah Shabbos, you got to daven Meir, you got to have Suda Shabbos. But Nichnasai, I see who you really are. Who are you really in the business world? Who are you behind closed doors at 2 o'clock in the morning when you can't sleep and you're on your phone? That's what it is, as Rav Sternbach says, this beautiful idea. And therefore, Yom Kippurim, because Yom Kippur, anybody could be great for 25 hours. Anybody could be stark for then. But now, God forbid, you lose your job? Oh, now all of a sudden you have a Muna? There was a guy I used to sit in front of when I was working in Netuvon. It was an amazing story. A lot of stories came out of, it's not a joke, it's really true. Out of IDT, Netophone, where we made people frum. Usually it's the opposite, right? But we made people frum. People started wearing yarmulkes. People started becoming frum because of working there. And one such case was a friend of mine. I won't mention his name. He's going to go on white terror. I won't mention his name. I ended up having the great success of setting him up with his wife. Baruch Hashem is like 20 years. I think I did a good job. And I always remember it. I was sitting in back of him, and he had a ponytail. And like every day, I would look at my scissors and be like, should I not? But anyway, he was trying to become more religious, so we would talk all the time. And he told me this amazing story. He said to me that his brother lost his job. Him and his brother were not so religious. He's now becoming more religious. And he starts to tell him this concept called emunah. And the brother's like, yeah, but I lost my day. He's like, I know, but you got to believe that Hashem did this for a reason. And you lost this job for a reason. Most of the time, you won't know the reason, right? Sometimes we get lucky and we're like, wow. Can you imagine I was at that dead-end job? I got the kick in the tuchus and I got out. Now look who I am. Like, sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you go out with a girl for a long time and she dumps you. And you're like, why are you doing this to me, God? You hate me, hate me. And then he's like, oh my God, I can't believe the person I married. I'll say this on Yitzhar. I don't care. If I would have married the first woman that I went out with, who I know today who she is, it wouldn't have worked out for me. She was not for me. I just was infatuated with the fact that she was infatuated with me. I thought it was so cool that somebody besides my mom liked me, you know? Like, it was really great. And it took me 24 other girls to meet my wife. And, I mean, I don't think she agrees, but it was pretty good for me. Worked out pretty well for me. She might be regretting it, but why? So he says to his brother, you have to have emunah and faith and da-da-da and bitachon Hashem. And at last, and Nebuch, the guy can't find a job. It was a bad time in the stock market, wasn't doing well. And 6 months, the guy doesn't have a job. And his brother says to him, all right, can you stop this emunah stuff? Have you ever lost your job? And he's like, no. He goes, well, lose your job, and then you can have a discussion with me about emunah. And my friend tells me the story. He lost his job. Bad. Over a year, he could not find a job. Nothing. He finally decided after a year to take a job working for like an alarm company. Like, it was terrible. Baruch Hashem, he's wholly employed now. And then he thought about his brother and the emunah thing. I'm preaching emunah all day and all night because I had a job and everything was great. Right? But now when the going gets tough, he's like, he's right. It's not so easy anymore. To see God, let's call him the Purim guard. The Purim guard is God is not always obvious to us. It's not that he's not around. It's just that we don't have the ability to see him the way we should. I love Rav Dessler's explanation of he talks about not having the Beis HaMikdash, and they say the Shekhinah is not with us anymore. He says, the Shekhinah is not with us. We just don't appreciate seeing the Shekhinah as much as we used to. Because unfortunately, he compares it to somebody who wakes up in the morning, and he wakes up the first morning, and nobody's cleaning his room, his dorm room, right? So the window's getting a little, and then it gets dusty, it starts raining, it starts sunning, and he wakes up in the morning and goes, oh, shoot, it's raining outside. His friend's like, dude, it's not raining outside, it's sunning like anything. Just your window, you need a little Windex, man. It looks that way, but, and then he sprays the Windex. Oh, our neshamas are bound up in things they shouldn't be bound up with. And once they get out, all of a sudden you start seeing Hashem in crazy ways you never thought you saw him before. Right? All you need is a real bad stomach ache to come out of the bathroom and be like, wow, I'm going to say Hashem Yotzer now. And now I really understand what it means. Or you hear a story about somebody, Nebuch, or God forbid it happens to you. That, hello, we appreciate. And it shouldn't come to the point where we have to lose a job. That's the idea. Let's continue. The second part of this is an awesome question. And you could keep the sheet and you could look on. He says some more about Moshe Rabbeinu, about the Teva. The name of the holiday of Purim is the strangest name of all the holidays we have. Because every other holiday makes a lot of sense. Right? Hanukkah. The holiday we just had. Chanu b'chafe. We were victorious. Thank you, God. Pesach. God passed over the Jewish people and chose us as a nation. Shavuos. Okay, not a great one, but yeah. We count the weeks to accept the Torah. Rosh Hashanah. The obvious one. Sukkot. Shasi b'nei Yisrael. God protected us. Raffle? Lottery? Imagine going to work tomorrow. I'm like, hey, you're going to be off for raffle tomorrow? You're off for lottery? You're taking off or not? That's what Purim's name is. Doesn't sound pretty good when you say it in English, huh? Why is the name Purim? What's happening? What's so says Rav Pinkus, Nikuda zeh, Tumuno gam be'etzim shemo, mahut shel Purim, shel shem apur. Al yidei goral, shel lechora ein dover tevin mimenu. There's nothing more chance than a lottery. Right? A few weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, there was like a 500 in America, there's like $500 million, some crazy parable, some crazy thing, right? Which I always laugh. Everybody goes crazy when it's $500 million, right? When it's like 10 or 20, it was like, yeah, I don't need that money. 500 million, that I could use. You know, like, I never understood why. And then you have the worst chances ever. But so nobody's going to say that the guy that won the lottery because he knows how to do the numbers. You know why I won? Because I chose 17 because my birthday is on the 17th of the month. And I chose 8 because that's my month of my birthday. And 18 is chai and 36 is double chai. Stop it. Right? Yes, I know there are people who go to Las Vegas and play poker and explain why they're better than everybody else, right? And consider it the high. But there's nothing more random than a goral. Why did I win the Chinese auction? Why did I win this trip? It's a mikra. It was random. I 100% believe it wasn't fixed. Ulam bekabe dugmaot mi'atoyra mi'anamivim anaroim ki adaraba goral hu bitoy v'pulat the kodesh baruch b'chol devatzmo. No, he'll give examples now of where God is in the raffle. That's God. For example, goral nechekat eretz shvatim. Kol shev the shev judge liatzmo chelik. They had a raffle. Who's going to get what? What do you think? God didn't know what they were going to get. Who's going to get Tveria, for example? Kinneret, the only natural source of drinkable water. V'chem atzino b'shnei hasirim echad l'Hashem chazel. Another goral happens. He quotes from Yehoshua Gamkein. Zeha mahut shel Purim. Al shem pur. Zeha mitzvah harishona shel Purim. Kriya samagila. Shehi migale lanu. Et hamahut shel olam. Hamaharal omeritz feres Yisrael. Shekasher kodesh baruch hu chatham. Am Yisrael lumita hareiz en nichshav lumisa mamish. Achar kach barak kodesh baruch hu. Amachadosh kabos haTorah. Hadar kiblu v'meach hashverosh. What happened? What does it mean we accepted the Torah new? Because kofar alem hargigim says the Gemara in Shabbos. God put the mountain on top of us, and we said, Shantiyah Kravoschem, we're going to accept the Torah. We accepted the Torah anew. Why? Because that was the force. That was Miyura, and this is Mi'ava. What's Mi'ava? Oh my God, I see you even in the days of Purim, God. I can't believe I didn't see you. How does the Megillah start? What a strange way. The Jews are eating at the Suda of Achashverosh. What's the Suda of Achashverosh commemorating? The fact that the Beis HaMikdash will never be rebuilt again. But they came to the Jews and the Jews said to the Jews, don't worry, we're going to have a Mahadran table. Mahadran min a Mahadran. The chief rabbi of Shushan Abira is going to give the Ashgacha. We're going to also, because we're not sure everybody has different chumras, the full Abul Rebbe is going to have the Ashgacha on it as well. The chief rabbi of Parasumada, you know, like, oh. And they're eating there. They're not on a good level. And then they see that Hashem is B'tocha Teva. And they say, wait a minute. Rav Zilberstein, I promise you, halacha. Rav Zilberstein has a number of tshuvas on the question of raffles. It's Erev Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. Erev Shabbos is one of the funnest, most fun days. Funnest, as my kids say. Most fun days here because it's crazy. Unfortunately, this Friday was raining. Baruch Hashem was raining, of course, because rain is awesome for Eretz Yisrael. And I had to go pick up my shalach manos containers. So I go to the Merkaz. Have you ever been to the Merkaz on Friday? Don't bring a car. Right? It was like bedlam. And I got real lucky and I got a spot after waiting for like 10 minutes. I get a spot. And I go in there and it's pouring rain. It's crazy, the Merkaz. And then, of course, I came home and realized I didn't buy enough and I had to go back. But long story. Anyway, a guy's at a hardware store on Friday. There's a long line and all he needs is a bulb. The bulb was out in his dining room. He needs a bulb. He says to the guy in front of him, dude, can I do me a favor? Can I just call? He says, yeah, you got a bulb. This guy's got all this other stuff. He says, just go. It's fine. as he pays, all of a sudden, woo, 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 you're the millionth customer. You win a trip to Mozambique, whatever. You win a trip to Turks and Caicos. Yeah? And the guy's going crazy, whatever, whatever. The guy back, like, whoa, 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 stop, stop, stop. That's my ticket. I won. I let him cut me in line. That's all I want. And they start fighting. The manager comes out. What's going on over here? And he goes, I won. It's my ticket. It's my ticket. I go, wait. Thank God it was obviously a hardware store in B'nai Brak. They're like, let's walk over to Rav Zilberstein and ask him what the halacha is. And he says there's a concept called mazel. You ever hear the word shlamazel? Yeah. Shlamazel means he has no mazel. No, this guy is walking in. He always just shlamazel. It's believed it's not mazel. Mazel is a concept we believe in very much. We say mazel tov, right? We say, oh, what? Well, you believe in Kabbalah? Mazel tov? Yes, there's something called mazel. Right? We don't like the idea of the zodiacs because of what it's used, the horoscopes. You know, you start reading the New York Post. Oh, it's interesting. Right? That's a vote of Zohar Mamish. But the zodiac in itself, Adar, what's Adar's sign, you know? Fish is a big deal, right? But that's real. We believe that. There's a mazel. Says Rav Zilberstein, God chose you in this weird way to win the thing. Right? It's not the guy, it's not the ticket, it's the person. He's got another story. You don't like this story. There's you find out about the pious in Israel, the lottery. Right? And you're a Shanaal guy, so, you know, 5 million shekels is still enough for you. So you call your friend and, I don't know, what you consider to be a more stark yeshiva, right? Right. I would raise it. And you say to him, dude, you want to, I'm going to buy tickets anyway. He's like, I can't. I'm in Bidud. I can't, you know? So you go buy him a ticket. And you bring it over to him. And the raffle is tomorrow morning. The lottery. And you're trying to go to sleep and you say to yourself, shoot, I know what's going to happen. He's totally going to win because he's a stark guy from Russia. Like, he learns all the time. He's going to win. I got an idea. Goes to Russia, breaks into the kid's apartment and steals the ticket and puts his ticket there. And of course, as luck would have it, guess who wins? The Russia kid. So now, this guy's beside himself, but he goes to Rav Zilberstein with the ultimate chutzpah and says, Rav Zilberstein, guess what? I got to tell you a story. He tells him the story. He said, it's not his ticket. I won the 5 million shekel. I went in the middle. I'm admitting, I did all the terrible things, but that's halachically, it doesn't matter. And Rav Zilberstein passes the same thing. It's called mazel. You are a shlamazel. You don't have mazel. Sorry. God chooses a person, not the ticket. The ticket has no credence in that. Yes, that ticket allows you to do something. But that's the whole idea. That's the hipil pur. And that's what the Sif Sei Chaim says, Rav Chaim Friedlander in source number 2. Do you ever think to yourself, this is such an easy vort, that how do we not think of this? We're going to be saying, Al ha nisim on the miracles. V'yala purkan, v'yala tshuvas, right? On the saviors, v'yala, right? All the great things you did for us. V'yala milchamos. On the wars? Well, that's not a good thing. Why am I saying about the wars? Hey, say about wars. Oh, remember World War II? That was so cool. That was great. Vietnam War? What do we say? Comes along Rav Pinkus and says, I'm sorry, Rav Sifsei Chaim, Rav Chaim Freelander, Kashali, the Chain, Toy, the He, says, Yesh Machama, Maduana Modim al Machamas. What's good about Machamas? And he admits, Yesh Girsa, the Anaf Yosef, al Machamas, believe of. Kolomar v'al ha'chuos that Hashem saved us al milchamas. He saved us from the wars. Al chuos al milchamas nimsus shoda sheinu etzam al milchama he davar tov. Nobody's going to say war is good. Elahi ha'yeshua shebal yada. But it's the Savior that God gave us that He put us in that war. Anu moedim al milchamas she'al. He says, but let me read it. Let's say the word v'al and. Not the saviors that came through war, but no, the milchama itself you could learn. Shal milchama kishal atzmo vaday ein osh. It's not a good thing. Mikol makom kasher hayat sarach milchama nihul otanu akadosh baruch hu avrin tzicha. You needed the war. It may not be the war that you think of. It may be some sort of spiritual war you're going through. That voice inside that says, don't wake up for minyan this morning. There's no reason to. What are you making brachas for? Nobody's watching you. The eternal milchama is the Ribbono Shalom saying, I love you. You need this now. You need to stub your toe and for the water to be cold. Because I want to make you stronger. I want to make you better. This nisayon is all part of it. The businessman's challenge is, it's not going to go great all the time. You're not going to keep your job. You know, my father-in-law thinks I'm some deadbeat worker because he had a job for like 40 years in the same exact place. My parents also, listen, they were teachers. What does this guy have? 7 jobs in 15 years? That's weird. 20 or whatever. It's weird. Maybe it is, but okay. But no, the idea is that, yeah, there are challenges all the time. But the milchama is Hashem giving us a kiss and saying, I love you so much. I'm with you. In the biggest saras sheyeshbo. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik writes here in source number 3 in Harei Kedem. He quotes his grandfather, his great-grandfather, the Beis Halevi in Parshas B'Shalach, talking about the Shira. You don't have it, but I'll just read you what he writes. There are 2 types of gratitude that can be expressed. This is the Beis Halevi. In English, I actually have it. One is grateful to have been rescued from the praises of Hashem. Right? You're rescued from the rescue mission. You come into the country. Hey! But there's something else. The celebrating the bondage as much as the rescue. For had the Jews had never been enslaved, they could have not had the deliverance of Hashem. We complained about the slavery, but the slavery was from us, as Rav Schwab writes in his Sefer on Tefillah. Ve'ani b'chaschal v'tachti, we say every morning, Yagel libi b'shuasecha, we recite Zmiros and say, I always trusted in you, in your love and kindness, and in your future I'll be happy because of your salvation. Gamal is like to ripen. I know that you're doing what's right for me, Ribbono Shalom. Says Rav Soloveitchik, Gamal Hatzara, even on the Sarah, Shalaya Shaychal Yeshua, I didn't need, what did I need the Sarah for? Wow, you saved me from the war, but why do the war? Wow, you got me a new job, but I shouldn't have lost the other job. Chayvas Hoda Al Hashibudu, Shekashia Gula Kamo Al Gulatmo. You know what the ghoul is? When you're Tocha Sarah, I can't believe you love me so much. I can't believe you're putting me through this. I get the test. It's awesome. I love it. You don't have to love it. But Chol Tzar Tzar, the Rebbeinu Shlomo, he says, you know what Hallel is about? Hallel HaGadol on Pesach night? The biggest Hallel of the year, we say it at night? Wow. That's a Hallel to say thank you, Hashem, for taking us out of Mitzrayim. Not the Nisan Menaflos. I'm not talking about that now. For making us a vehicle. We had to be slaves in order to become who we are today. Al Yidei Hatzara Nigram Shenikadel Shem Shamayim and Akadosh Barabbas. Right? Who are the best people who can give you advice? I'd like to say this. I'm sorry I'm saying this. Just a moment of tooting my own horn. Right? Who should teach you business halacha and come into your shir and annoy you every week? A guy that's in the business world. Not some rabbi who's going to teach you and be like, well, I heard that there are people now using the Twitter app. You know what I'm talking about, yeah? Yeah. Right? You know, whatever word you could say, you say it wrong. You do a lot of Insta? What, Instagram, grandma? Yeah, is that what you're talking about? Yeah. But, right? Facebook, you know what? Say the right words. God doesn't know. He's never been. He talks about handshake and halacha. So it makes me into a bigger person. Many years ago, Baruch Hashem, many years ago. When my son was 6 months old, he was very, very seriously ill. And there's one person who would come to the hospital very, very often. My wife was the one that was with my son, Avishai. And he would bring food to her all the time. And finally, my wife said, why do you come? It's like getting a little weird. It's a guy from the community. He said, because I lost my daughter to cancer. I think she was 9 years old. I get it. I get what you're feeling here. I get the loneliness. I get the... Those are the best friends you ever had. The ones who's like, I went through years. I get it. Or somebody who just cries and says, listen, I've never had this kind of loss, but somebody who's had it, it's much easier to talk to that person. Oh, you lost your job, you understand? Oh, now we can talk. Imo Anochi Batsara sometimes is greatest when it's somebody that you know that has gone through it. And sometimes that's why Hashem gives us those challenges. So Purim is a regular day. It's regular life. And it's God's challenge to say, okay, now, let's see. It's not a Yom Kippur now. No. It's a regular day. Who are you? It's so easy to go from Jew to guy on this day. Sometimes I get very, very nervous when I come in on Purim night, Thursday night, and you see how guys are dressed up. And you're like, oh boy, right? It's a little bit of emes in how you decide to dress up, I think, you know? And you're like, oh, okay. Is that what the guy thinks he is, right? And then people who start to do things that are not our nation, they pregame. They get drunk on Thursday night. Nobody says that. There's not written anywhere. You just went to the other side. And it's a fine line. I'm telling you, you're allowed to drink. Well, but not here, not there, not there. That's what Judaism is about. Our most coveted events that we have, we're Makadish them with something called Kiddush. Kiddush is Kedusha, but it's the one drink that we... Oh my God, are you sure you want to do that? Yeah. Bris Milah, marriage, Shabbos, Yom Tov. We start off with the thing that could be the worst. We celebrate a marriage, Kedushin. We know what it means. We say, no, this is sanctified. This is the way you're supposed to live your life. And when we live in a world where everything is the opposite of that, we need a day that we say, Harder Kiblua. We accepted the Torah even in the difficult times. Even in the Shushan Abira. Even when life went back to normal right after, the last paragraph of the Megillah. Oh yeah, there were more taxes. Here we go. Ahasuerus still hated us. Nebuchadnezzar had to live in that palace with him. Horrible story. That's the challenge of Mirat Hashem that you should be zeiche to realize. I will now take some awesome questions.